Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christy, Marie, and Julie. Hi, everyone. How you doing out there?
You know, I'm Christy Marie, and I know that you're Julie.
Yeah.
I'm the mom. You're the daughter. But I just want to say, I really like our music.
Yes.
We never say it enough, but I like it.
And I've asked you before, what is a yeah, yeah girl? What would you call? I am a yeah, yeah girl.
I think that I'm a yeah, yeah girl.
You are a yeah, yeah girl.
I think I am.
So is it more of an energy and like pulling the essence out, or is it, it's like an, you know, you have to embrace it? It's a feeling.
It's
like
probably not that complicated or complex. It probably is like, you know,
excuse me.
Saying yes to everything, saying yes to life.
Saying yes to life. Because I was thinking, is it
like a sorry that I'm laughing
girl?
About
but yeah,
it.
Saying yes to life. Well, it was so funny.
What was that quote that we heard this week? It was like, some people may say about the scars.
Oh,
what was it?
Some people might be afraid of getting bruised. And I say, I want to embrace the scars because at least it tells the universe I've shown up to life.
Yeah.
Something like that. I'm paraphrasing in a really poor way.
Yeah. And, you know, F those quotes.
Well, you know why it's so funny today?
So easy to throw those out, right?
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because today I feel, because we do our show no matter what. And today I feel that you're the more cynical one today.
I am cynical today.
And where I have been experiencing cynicism, I've had a great day overall. I've done some deep, deep cleaning and clearing the clutter. And so I'm here showing up with a little bit of a lightness around me.
Yeah.
And I'm all clean because, you know, I took a shower after doing a lot of decluttering. And you're
talking about a metaphorical shower.
No? Yeah. I'm not talking about the Trump kind of shower.
That's a Trump shower, right?
And today you're on the end of, you've caught my cynicism or just the sadness.
I don't know what happened except that Elliot got the better of me today. Mm-hmm. He just won.
Well, and I feel bad about that because I don't think you were connecting on what was going on. Because, well, first of all, if you don't know who we are, we're Christine, Marie, and Julie. My mom's a psychotherapist. I'm a teacher. I'm an instructional designer. You also...
coach.
We're both coaches.
Yeah.
Life coaches, law of attraction coaches. And you've got many, many certifications. And what we like to do on Sunday nights is try and kind of dissect the week and take out the good nuggets that we can expand on. And you always say...
Those nuggets hurt coming out.
Yes, they do.
But is that what I usually say?
That's what I usually say when you're not so cynical and life's hard and you haven't been beaten by Elliot. Well, see, here's the problem. I don't think you were connecting with the fact that you put him out of your room and you created him today. Mm-hmm. You know,
because he was in the room and he was just barking at Mona incessantly.
Right. And so you put him out in the crate, and Mona's somebody that comes over and helps with the house. But she doesn't clean the house per se. Like, she's not the cleaner. She is what I call my motivator. Because for the 3 hours...
She just comes over and beats you.
Beats me.
Like stick.com.
Well, I don't know why I have a hard time just saying, okay, spend 3 hours and clean the house. And then I'll pay you when you're done. Or, you know, so what happens is this. When she's here, I'm like, I feel motivated to help her because I adore her. She's great. I only know her because of this, but I've known her now for a couple of years. And we don't need her to come over a lot of times, but she's like, oh, can I come over today? And I'm like, okay, I know what that means. I'm like, sure. And so, but the things I want to get done with her, she can't do by herself because...
Right. They're tasks.
They're tasks.
They're like handyman things.
Well, they have to have some kind of like thought behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what Julie and
Yeah, it's not just like,
you
know, cleaning up a room.
No, exactly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when she does clean, I don't know why I have a problem with this, but she likes to clean the floors really, really well because we have wood floors. And so I'm like, okay, an hour and a half to clean the
floor. An hour and a half later, she's still working on the floors.
I'm like, they're going to get messy in literally 10 minutes.
And that's like the last thing on our list.
Exactly. And our last thing is her first thing. So
I know.
We have this.
Push me, pull you.
For sure, for sure. But I do adore her. I do love her. But when she's here, I literally think, oh, her and I can do this together and get this done that's been on my plate. And so we've been tackling the basement. Oh, my God. Ugh. God help me now. And
we don't want to talk about the basement, but it's been a thorn. It's a thorn in our side. I don't know what to say. Here we are. We want the Clutterfly effect.
Yeah.
About decluttering your life, and yet our basement is our secret.
Well, okay, it's
our dark secret.
It is not. Well, okay, and here's the thing.
And I said to you, why is Mona coming up and down the steps, up and down the steps? And then you sweetly, innocently said to me, she's removing sand.
Yeah.
And I went, I just shake my head. The dog's barking at me, and now I see that up and down the steps, there's sand being removed. And I go, why is there sand in the basement?
Okay, well, here's what happened.
And then
sand.
You said, well, you know, those years ago when this...
Well, now what happened was we had those sandbags for when we needed to pick up trucks to put weight in the back. And then one of those sandbags broke open. And it's like, then you're like, I got to deal with the sand. Well, then you can't carry it because it's 100 pounds of sand. So she decides that I'll do this because it's like, hey, I get my exercises, climb up the steps with like 5-pound increments. Putting it in a little box, carrying it out, and putting it in, you know, wherever. I don't know what she did with it.
But I don't either.
It was okay. It's biodegradable. And so, like, we have no neighbors anywhere because there's 100 pounds of sand somewhere.
Someplace.
Exactly. So that's part of the problem. And those little things. And I do have to say that the more time that things stay in crates, you know, because it looks... If someone went down there, they go, oh, it's well organized.
Mm-hmm.
But we've talked about how one of our goals potentially could be, well, moving and possibly tiny home in San Diego living on a camper for mm-hmm. a year, you
mm-hmm.
know. And
mm-hmm.
and none of those things sound great if you have to have 5 storage units for your stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So the nice thing about it is that when you have things stored over time and you're like, oh, look at this box, like there's nothing of use now.
Mm-mm.
And you just get rid of it. Or a lot of
stuff. It'd be nice if you found $1 million just, you know, hidden away.
Can I tell you something? Yes. One time we found $450.
That's right.
I go, so everything must be looked through because you just don't know.
Yeah.
And typically what I find are dad's secret stashes of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
10-year-old M&Ms.
Yeah, exactly.
5-year-old Hershey Kisses.
We find that all over the place.
Oh, for sure. But it does. So I'm here. I feel great. I feel better because I've cleansed in some sense. I've done some cleaning today and I've sweated and I wore a mask, thank God, because
yeah.
I could feel a little deep wheeze down there.
Do you? Okay, so it's bad. Huh?
Yeah, a little bad.
Did
a little
Mona
more dusting.
Wear the mask?
Yeah, she wore a mask as well. I kept reminding her. And it's so cute because literally she's a year younger than me or 2 years younger than
mm-hmm.
me. But I feel maternal towards her for mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know
No,
why.
I understand. She's got a very, very young spirit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And listen to Adam Carolla on the podcast down there. And I had a good time. And then I also had a time where I go, I just don't need anything. You know, I have these revelations. Like, I don't want to buy anything more in my life. I
right.
don't need anything more in my
right.
life. Because, you know.
And also, we decided a while back that, I mean, obviously you have to consume. Like, I got my electric bill today, and, you
yeah.
know, the mail and things like that. And you realize, yeah, I'm a consumer.
Right.
But mostly you switch around and you go, wait a minute, I'm a producer.
How do I become a producer?
I'm a
yes.
producer.
For
I'm
sure.
a protector. I'm a provider. I just, those 3 P's, that's what I want to be, do, and have, you know?
Yes, for sure.
And so I don't see myself as a consumer anymore, not in the traditional sense, like most people go, oh, I want this and I want that and I can't wait to get this and do that.
Yeah.
I haven't really felt that way hardly ever really in my life. There's just things I'd like a pool. I like
yeah.
a new pool, you know, but mostly I just don't consider myself a consumer.
No.
I consider myself now
a
producer.
And because of dad's job and his business, we have a tendency to have accumulated a lot of stuff the course of the years. And, you know, it's funny, like, we've built these homes. We've built homes in the past. And so you do have stuff that are just left over. And you're like, what am I going to do with this stuff?
Leftovers. Yeah.
Well, this is so funny.
You make a business out of it. That's what they do on HGTV.
I guess, yes. And so that's what we're planning on doing. But one thing I found that I must share that I just laughed. So I go and I'm cleaning up this one, because we have a huge basement. I mean, it's got to be...
huge.
I don't know, 2,000 square feet.
Easy.
You know.
Yeah.
Just a huge basement. And hello, create a void, you're going to fill it with something.
Yeah.
So I'm clearing out this area, and I pick up this big box. And this is a big, huge box. And it's a great looking box. And I pick it up, and it's light as a feather, but it's filled. I know it's filled, but it's light as a feather.
What was it?
I open up the box. It is literally filled with, I have no idea where we got these from, foam fingers, I say number one. Must be 20 foam fingers. These huge things. They say number one on it. You're number one. And I go, oh, I don't know what to do with them. Do I keep them? Because what if I need them?
What are foam fingers?
Foam fingers.
Oh, my God. How big are they?
They're big. I don't know. Like, if you went to a game and you had them on your finger, you'd go, my God. Look at me. I've got number one.
I don't even remember ever purchasing something like that.
I know, but you purchased a whole box.
I don't get it.
So, from a trading company, Arizona Trading Company, is that what they're called? That company?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Oriental Trading Company.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's a big, huge box of these foam fingers.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think to myself, first of all, what was Mom's brilliant plan? Because there must have been a plan.
If there's 20 foam fingers that say number one, there was a plan, Julie.
Right. Did you feel like you need a boost? And, hey, I'm number one. I'm number one. I really am. And then now, though, I go, these are kind of cool.
Yeah.
In a weird effing way.
Yeah.
These are kind of cool.
Yeah.
What do I do with these?
Don't give them a Leidiger.
Okay.
You
might need those.
We might sell them on eBay.
Yes.
20 foam fingers that say number one. Oh, hello.
Yeah.
I'm going to bid on that.
Exactly. I'll pay you 20. I don't know what they're worth. Yeah. They could be literally worth $1 a piece. I mean, we could sell them, or we could keep them, I guess, because then we got to remember that we had them.
First of all, that's right. Yeah. And I have to look at one to see.
Yes.
Because I have no recollection of this at all.
You're right. Well, that's why I thought it was
very
funny.
Not only do I have no recollection of getting it, I have no recollection of why I got it.
Right. And then one of the boxes literally, I am not, is not metaphorically.
Are you meaning literally?
I mean literally. What's the other word? Not metaphorically, literally or... literally. I mean, literally filled with your certificates, your diplomas, your who's who of college graduates.
Keep that box, girlfriend. Right now I get it. The box of certificates and the foam fingers
they
that
went
say
together.
I'm number one.
Yes.
That's what I was trying to do.
That's it. You were like...
Combine those boxes.
And then you've got like, well, look at me. You know,
look at me.
Jack Canfield does have this procedure or process where he likes you to write down your wins of your life.
Yes.
So that you know that you can accomplish
things.
So
you don't
feel
like the big L that you are.
Yeah, that you can feel like, oh, I can still do new things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because doing new things as adults is pretty... it's not... You know, you're really... doing new stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, with great risk,
mm-hmm. and without a net,
and with risk to other people. I mean, mm-hmm. your family.
Yeah,
you
for
know,
sure.
When you're 19, 20, you're going on your own. The mm-hmm. truth is, you have less to risk. And when you're older, you have a lot more to risk, just with responsibilities to your own family.
Yeah. Well, I can remember when we years ago, we had this business and we had to close it down. And one of the guys that was on your board was a medical doctor.
Yeah.
And you were kind of commiserating and saying, what are my parents going to do? We're closing down. He goes, well, they'll rebuild. They'll start over. When you're 40 or something, you can do that.
Yeah. And you go, and then, and you can still do it when you're 60. It just doesn't feel like, right? Or 50 or whatever. And then you go, you know, you just go, ah. Oh. It just feels crazy, though, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It just feels crazy.
I'm keeping those foam number one fingers.
Yeah, but I do like the idea, though, that Jack Canfield talks about is writing those 100. He wants you to write 100 successes.
Mm-hmm. In your whole life.
In your whole life.
Yeah.
And he goes, if you have to, go back to when you learn how to walk. I'm like, whatever.
Oh, man.
And if I have to write that down, I'm going to feel like a bigger loser.
I learned to walk yesterday.
Well,
I learned to.
I watch this show very irregularly. Not very often.
Okay.
Called Speechless. It's on ABC. And it's a Mimi Driver, isn't he? Mini Driver? many drivers on it. And she's a mom from Britain or England. And she's got an American husband. They have three kids, and one has cerebral palsy, pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And he's in a wheelchair. I don't know if he really has cerebral palsy and he's an actor or, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but I enjoyed the show, but it was kind of cute. I've worked with adults who've had disabilities. I've worked with kids with disabilities. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of funny because in this one episode that I watched, it was about the one son who doesn't have cerebral palsy wants to win some money in a contest, a writing contest about who's your hero. And he'll get like a couple $100 and he wants to buy this hoverboard. And he goes, I want to write a story about my brother because he's my hero. And he's not, but he goes, I think I'll get the most points for writing about my brother who has cerebral palsy and how he's my hero. And the brother finds out about this. And he's like, and he has a board that he has to point to spell out words and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And he has an aide that speaks for him, which is hysterical because mm-hmm. it's a black guy from Reno 911, mm-hmm. which I used to love that show. It's mm-hmm. a great show. And he would say, I hope it's him. I'm not speaking. But the guy goes, you can't write it because I'm not your hero. He goes, I'm not going to be your handicapped person that makes other people feel better about their lives. That's not why I was born, you know, that's why I wasn't born, you know. And that was so funny.
Yeah.
Because so many times people go on, you know, well, you know, you other people have it worse than you. You know, you should feel grateful for what you have. And yes, we all know that. When someone's really struggling and at a point in their life they go, mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. Every option looks crappy. Mm-hmm. Telling people to positively aspect the good things in their life is mm-hmm. hard and difficult and almost seems like a slap in the face.
It's like the last thing, you're right, it's the last thing you want to hear.
Yeah.
When, you know, you're at your lowest nadir, your lowest point, and you go,
well, I just could, like that guy nadir.
Things could be worse. Yeah. Or you could be this person.
Yeah.
You could be, I don't know why, but that doesn't work. It works if you're have a little bit of distance.
Yeah, not at that moment.
But not at that moment.
Like, oh, you shouldn't complain. There are people in this world that have it worse off than you. Like,
yeah.
Well, I feel bad for them then because I couldn't feel possibly any worse.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny because we're still reading that book, Tribe, off and on. And it talks about, though, when a crisis occurs in a community, it almost is a great equalizer.
It is, yeah.
And depression rates go down because there's not this.
Yeah, there's an when people feel equal, or there's yes. an equalizer, like a crisis.
Yes.
People, in terms of mental health, do better.
Yes. And when there's not this equalizer, and we see, you know, people assume that they have it better or not better or whatever, mm-hmm. and people are alone. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one thing that having such a diverse culture, people tend to be very lonely,
mm-hmm.
You know.
And
I
when
get
everybody's
that.
Equal and stuff, you're not lonely.
And when you're all in it together, we're all in it together. I don't know. I haven't been in it together with anybody in a long time, except for you, girlfriend.
Yeah, me and you, girl.
We're in it together. And Dad comes in, and we're like, I want to be in it together with you guys.
Yeah, we go, not really.
No. You're an outsider. You're not part of this tribe, mister. And then we have to let him in, because he starts to cry.
Yeah, we kind of just pretend. We pretend that he's in it. We let him pretend.
I'm going to just comment really quick about Tribe, really quick.
Yeah.
I know we're all over the map today, and that's okay, because it's a free show.
It's a free fall.
It's
Sunday evening.
Yes, it is.
And you know what? At this time next week, we will have, like, a new president.
Yes. And everybody's afraid to talk about it in Illinois. We're like, I can't really say anything. I was talking to David Doug's son-in-law last weekend when I saw Jack, the little baby that's here in our lives.
Baby Jack.
Jack in the Box. And he goes, you know, I always feel like I have to, if I want to comment about Trump, I feel like I have to first preface, I didn't vote for Trump. However, I didn't vote for Trump. However, I really kind of hope he does a good job.
Yeah.
I didn't vote for Trump. However, and I go, I totally understand it. We're still not healed yet Mm-mm. from this
no.
experience.
And we're I don't know how we become, with all the stuff that gets leaked, or the
yeah.
the Russian stuff and the WikiLeaks. I don't know how we get healed, you know?
detach.
But we just have to.
And no, it doesn't matter anyway.
No.
The biggest information I got was from Joe Rogan on his election night coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it, listened to the podcast 2 days later.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems with podcasts.
But yeah.
I
know where it's headed.
Yeah.
Because they're live and they're doing a live.
Yeah.
They're getting election results as it's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point they're going, wait a minute, Trump's going to win this thing. And they're in California. And Joe goes, listen, you know, if your life depends on who is a president or
right,
not,
exactly,
then you're not doing your life right.
Right.
And I thought to myself, oh, bravo.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, for the most part, the president of the United States has never completely affected our lives.
Right.
I mean, have we had to modify certain things here and there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but overall, the president has never had that huge of an impact. I mean, the thing, and what I really want is just don't mess it up too badly.
Yeah, I know. Norm and I were talking about that this morning, and I was saying that I can, you said about the impact, you know, and
yeah.
I said I can remember in the late 70s, maybe it was that, you know, like waiting in line to get gas. Because it wasn't the day, you only could, the last name started with P, so that
right.
was like Tuesdays and Thursdays you could
right.
buy gas, and then you'd have to have these huge lines and wait, you know, to get a couple of gallons.
Yeah.
And I remember, going to work, I worked for, one of those companies that they send you wherever they want to, to go different places, you know, to work, and being late all the time because I'd had to wait to get gas. I'd have to wait for the day to get gas and then wait in line to get gas.
Right.
And so, I mean, there was some effect, you know, I guess. But
well, and here's the thing. That you went back to the Carter era.
I think it was Nixon even.
Oh, it could have been Nixon. I thought Carter was.
Might have been. I can't remember. But
it could have been Nixon.
Yeah.
So Reagan was the 80s. Then Carter was before that.
Yeah, it was
Ford.
Yeah. Might have been Ford.
You know, I don't know. Good question.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Ford before Carter?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. But it was interesting because I've listened to Carter speak about his presidency. And I bet that, I mean, he only had a 4-year term.
Mm-hmm.
But people did not like what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when you hear him talk, everything he did was truly based on morality,
mm-hmm.
values, extreme values.
Mm-hmm.
And take the hit now,
mm-hmm.
and you know it will all be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not gonna. We're not going to
mm-hmm.
go down. We're not gonna risk our value system for immediate, you know, mm-hmm. for a little less pain or more
right.
comforts.
Right.
That did not serve him well.
People
by the way,
just hated him for whatever
and
reason.
And now looking back, people adore him.
Yeah,
they adore him. And I mean, I couldn't. I totally adore him as myself. I mean, I hear him speak, and I think this is a man that is soft. I mean, just like,
yes.
And I almost feel that I'd want to be more like him as I get older.
Yes,
That he does the work without expectation,
mm-hmm.
knowing that as long as I do my best I possibly can,
mm-hmm.
God will take care of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, but when you're ahead of the free world, sometimes you gotta maybe go, wait a minute, if this doesn't work out, we're screwed. Or normal people are going to suffer, you know?
Yeah, that's the hard part, isn't it?
Yeah, normal people will suffer. And except that we all do suffer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know that we've seen like ups and downs when the economy went. I mean, prices of homes in this area just plummeted. And took, they
plummeted.
Still are not where they were.
No.
I mean, not even close.
I never have seen anything like that in my life. You
and
know?
Now, I mean, we've adjusted. You know, and so forth.
You do what Americans do.
You adjust.
Yeah.
And you go, okay. And you try and change your plans and adapt because that's what we do and we adapt.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting. So I was working with Mona and, you know, she brought up the inauguration and I was like, she was like, oh, I think the inauguration's this week. I'm like, Yeah, I think it is too. I don't know
it's
when.
It's Friday at
it's
noon.
It's Friday, uh-huh. noon. And so she's talking to me about it very little, and I'm not talking about it mm-hmm. because I just, like I said before, like I just don't know. I don't, and I really, here's how I really feel. I feel like I'm over questioning whether or not he should be president or not.
Right.
He's going to be the president of the United States.
Right.
I want him to succeed. And I want him to hire good people to do the jobs they're supposed to do. I don't know how that's going to look. And mostly what I want done is I don't want them to mess up too much.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at other people talking about President Barack Obama's presidency,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel crazy sometimes because mm-hmm. you'll have two people talking about the exact same thing that happened mm-hmm. and either one hates it or one loves it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know what?
Not everybody's going to be happy. Usual. Yeah.
Except that I want to continue mm-hmm. this country as well as possible. And
Norm said something today that yeah. that had struck a chord with me. Same thing like you're saying, you know, I want him to succeed. I want it to do good for the country.
Yes.
And then and Norm said, and I just hope that the, you know, the Democrats don't try and block everything that he does. You know, because that's how the Republicans played it
right.
for 8 years.
Yeah.
And
that set you off.
That
man.
Set me
I
off.
I remember. I'm like, I gotta walk away from this.
You gotta walk away, girl. Walk away.
Because I don't know what the right response to this is.
I didn't either, but I felt that like,
yeah.
Oh, really? We're just supposed to, you know, be good little
yeah,
children.
Yeah, your little Italian side came up, and you're like, screw that. If that's how they treated us, we're gonna go down. We're gonna go down faster than them. Take the high road? I don't think so.
When they go low, we go lower.
There are no more Obamas in the White House, people. We do not have to take the high road. When they go low, we go high. People. No one's watching this anymore. We're going low, and we're going lower. We're gonna get dirty.
Let's talk the entertainment. For the inauguration on Friday.
I kind of feel bad about
this.
No,
there's supposed to be a lot of the Rockettes.
Hey!
And the Mormon Tabernacle Choir
hey!
Going to entertain. Now, I understand that a lot of the artists, you know, the real artists have turned Trump down.
Right.
But now, I beg to differ. Cover bands might be willing. I heard it was like Bruce Springsteen and the B Street Man, and then Neil Cubic Zirconium.
So are you trying to tell me that they're
Led Zeppelini? They're all going to do it.
Instead of Duran Duran, is Jimmy Duran?
Jimmy Durante.
Oh, that's it? Oh, I didn't turn around then. Yeah, so I thought about Journey, and then I go, okay.
Journeyman.
Yeah, is it? Journey 2? Journey to the middle of the earth? I don't know. Journey 101 or Journey
yeah,
0.2?
Yeah, so we're not getting, like, the real stuff. We're kind of getting it light.
And so I hope L-I-T-E. That does not represent his presidency. We're not getting a president. We're getting a president light. But I told you yesterday or the other day, I said he's going to be great for the economy for only one reason. For one reason that I know of for sure, guarantee. Because everybody likes to cover him. I mean, every newscaster loves covering him.
All right.
And I know that you've watched CNN more than you ever have. You're starting to watch Fox now, and you're like off and on just to get your juices going. And
I like to hear what the other side's doing.
Yeah, and I love that about you. And I also love talking about Fox. I was listening to WGN radio in Chicago, and they were talking about how Trump, President-elect Trump, was not answering any CNN questions because they said, you're fake news. You're fake news.
Well, I actually saw that.
I saw it with you. It was interesting. And then Fox reported, said, this is not right.
No.
That he should not be able to do this.
That we have in America a free press.
And I thought, I commend you.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Because if he goes after CNN, he's just a, you know, don't.
That's right.
He'll go after somebody else.
That's right.
And honestly, if
you didn't say nothing, when finally when they come after you, there'll be nobody to.
And people are listening to the news reports more to see what you're going to say to the news reports. And mm-hmm. if you just stop responding, everything will be better. And I did find it very interesting, though, some things that President-elect Donald Trump said. He's talked about, so, okay, maybe he doesn't know yet, supposedly this briefing, this two-page briefing talked about how the Russians had information on Trump about him doing salacious stuff.
That was what we heard, the word salacious.
Yes.
Alexa, what does salacious mean?
And they're like, what? And then, what salacious stuff are we talking about? And then I did find it on the web. And I'm like, ooh, that's salacious.
Ooh, honey.
That's salacious. And I thought, I just don't believe it. But it was kind of funny. And it wasted like 10 minutes of my life trying to find
it. Oh, my God. 10 minutes of mental real estate.
Yeah, needed to. By that. I could have been watching Law & Order, for heaven's sake.
That's right.
But, so it was, you know, what was I talking about? Now I don't even know. But I just felt it was weird. You know, I felt like, excuse me, guys out there listening to us right now, I've had a little brain fart. I don't know what's going on. Like a reboot's happening. I've had to unplug, plug me back in.
Did it come back okay then?
Yeah, I'll just move on because I have no idea what I was going to talk about. But I do, like I said, I do feel a little sad that he can't get big players to play. But typically, mm-hmm. you know, I remember when Bush was doing his inauguration, I mm-hmm. think there was a lot of people out there that didn't want to play for him either mm-hmm. in the musical realm, except mm-hmm. for maybe Ted Nugent or something like that.
Oh.
I don't know why either, because yeah. you're playing for the President of the United States. It doesn't matter the politics. It really doesn't. Maybe I have more of a romanticized feeling about the office itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, you know,
you do, girlfriend. You do.
Oh, can I share a story real quick?
Mm-hmm.
And on the radio, we were watching, listening to some, or no, you came out of the blue. This is right. You, I don't know what we're talking about. And out of the blue, you said, you don't really hate anybody, do you, Julie?
I did say that this week. I did say that.
And I said, what do you mean?
No, I said, you don't really dislike anybody.
Or dislike anybody. Yeah. I go, what do you mean? I go, you really, like, you don't hold grudges. You don't, I go, you don't really dislike anybody. I go, yeah, you're right. I go, I typically feel bad if I know somebody doesn't like me. Because I'm always like, well, I wonder why that person doesn't like me. I wonder what I've done mm-hmm. to turn somebody off. Mm-hmm. Because typically I try to be nice to everybody. And if I'm not, it's because I'm trying to be funny. Like, I have just, I'm a little bit, and mm-hmm. I assume that you can take it. And then, oh, like, they can't take it. And I feel bad because they got this little fragile ego. And I'm just mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm sorry. You mm-hmm. know, I thought we were just at that level where we can just, you know, sass each other, mm-hmm. whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so and then you brought up a couple situations.
You, yeah.
Where you go like, well, what about these two people? Because they really did you wrong. I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, shit, that's right. I had totally forgotten those two people.
So not only do you not dislike anybody, you just forget people that have hurt you.
I have.
And that's pretty awesome.
It is. And I remember, like, there's three people that have really, for whatever their motivation,
mm-hmm.
gone down bad for me.
Yeah.
Whatever. I can't even, now I'm thinking, I don't know what
I guess I'm the one that was remembering for you.
Yes, because you're like most people, which is, I'm like, I'll cut a bitch, you know, like, and you
leave my
forget.
Girl alone.
Yeah, and I appreciate that about you because you are my memory, mm-hmm. except that you do write checks that you can't cash, and then I end up cashing them for you, and I'm just like, oh, for heaven's sakes. So, but I remember getting calls from these two people, different groups of people,
right.
kind of wanting to reconnect, like, apologize, and like, we don't know how it all went down, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I know exactly how it went down,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, oh, I go, I want you to be happy, but guess what? I moved on.
Mm-hmm.
I moved on a week after I stopped crying. You know, mm-hmm. like, I might have cried a day,
mm-hmm.
and then a void occurred in my life,
mm-hmm.
and it filled up pretty fast, and I don't have a space anymore for mm-hmm. going backwards.
Right.
I'm sorry. I wish you well.
Right.
And I feel no ill will towards you.
Right.
And don't feel any towards me either, because,
mm-hmm.
you know.
No, and I can understand that, like, that a bridge was burned that can never be rebuilt.
Yes.
And you don't want to rebuild it.
No, and I don't have any, I don't feel badly for you or badly towards
you. No, there's nothing there.
And I really don't want to think about you. I don't want you to think about me. You just, you know, except for in a positive light, like we had lots of good times together or whatever.
Right.
And because even now, and I can tell you why I don't hold a grudge too much, is that there have been times my behavior, I've done something that I thought was for the better of everybody involved, mm-hmm. and someone took it the wrong way and got mad. And I'm like, well, this is the reason why I did this, and I don't understand mm-hmm. why you're behaving this way. Mm-hmm. And they got madder. And then, and I'm like, all right, well, I don't know what to do about this. Mm-mm. And I'm going, well, I'm sorry you feel this way. And like,
and that's what you needed to do.
And then I'm done.
Yeah.
I remember one time. Your mother.
Yes. I think I'm remembering the same situation.
Are you?
Was it about the bathroom?
About the bathroom.
Okay.
And here's a situation like that. And then I had to get over it real fast because mm-hmm. I'm like, well, what am I going to do? You know? Mm-hmm. And I was going down to Southern Illinois, St. Louis, like literally every 3 to 4 weeks for a day or two. Mm-hmm. I would write grandma's bills out. I'd take her out. We'd go grocery shopping just to get her out of the house. And she had other friends, and she could live by herself still.
This was before she went into the nursing home.
Yeah, but I can tell she was struggling.
But she was starting to fail, yeah.
If I could do her bill work every, and, you know, she had family that lived down there. But I knew that wasn't happening.
Right.
And so, you know, you got me a car that you're like, let's get you a car that has really good gas right, mileage, so right. that at least we're spending only $50.
Yeah.
And grandmother would always give me a 20 for gas.
Yeah.
I'm like, Grandma, this is not the 1930s. 20 does not cover 300 miles both ways, girlfriend. But I never said a word.
Never. You were a good girl.
And I remember she would talk to me about, oh, this bathroom is just not appropriate for me.
I know.
And I totally understood why. Yeah. It was an old-fashioned bathroom. Yeah. And she had to step up high to take a shower.
Yeah.
And I didn't want her to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to, instead of just getting it done for her, which I could have easily done.
Right.
I could have gone down, met some contractors, been down there. She would have paid for it anyway. Mm-hmm. She paid for it anyway.
Right.
I had to go through the patriarch, your
my brother. Who's not, he was just one of the two brothers that lived down there.
Yes, and I had to go through him first.
And she told you to, right?
She told me to.
Right.
And I thought I did it, and I know your family, so I know that I have to tread lightly because someone will take me wrong. They'll think their ego will get bruised or something.
No, not my family. You have to be shitting me.
Exactly. So I just said, hey, Uncle Mark, how you doing? I go, you know, I'm down here a lot now, and, you know, just seeing Grandma here. And I thought, if there's any way that I could possibly help you with this bathroom, I am totally yours. Use me as you want.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this.
How dare you?
Well, initially, this was like, I could hear nothing in the background. And he goes, oh, all right. And I thought I had in my mind, I had written out my script to make it as neutral, zero judgment as possible. And then the messages started occurring on the answer machine, and it was his wife calling saying, how dare you? We take good care of her. I'm like, I'm not saying you don't take care of her. I'm not saying anything except that she has commented to me several times about this bathroom. I mean, in my mind, I'm going, what's the big deal here?
Mm-hmm.
And also in my mind, I'm going, you're going to take the hit for this,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay, because the end result will be
mm-hmm.
they'll be motivated to get the bathroom done.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I just kept telling myself, you're going
to
take the hit.
I remember, like, you called me, and I go, you're going to have to take the hit for this.
I go, I know.
If you want it to be over with.
I go, I'm taking the hit,
yeah.
And I'm just going to walk through this fire. And then finally, it ended up me, grandmother goes, you're going to have to apologize to your Uncle Mark. And initially,
and your aunt.
I said, and your aunt. I go, I have no problem doing that, but I cannot tell you what am I apologizing for? Please tell me. And then...
And what did she say? Do you recall?
She goes, I don't know, but they're really mad at you. And I'm mm-hmm. like, okay. And so I did. Because
mm-hmm.
literally, peace is more important than me being right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I try and take everybody like they're doing the best they can. That no one out there is out to hurt me, typically. And so I hope people... take me the same way, like, hey, I'm not trying to harm you or do mm-hmm. anything wrong to you, but, you know, or whatever, but that's okay. But So I apologized to Uncle Mark, saying, I'm just so sorry. You know, I didn't mean to step on your toes. I just wanted to give you my hand. I can be of use to you, and I know you're busy, and you got a family, and, you know, I'm down here like every 3 weeks, and, you know, whatever I can do to help, but I'm totally, totally sorry if I came across in a certain way. And I'm like, you know, I can't apologize any more than I'm already apologized. I'm so sorry.
Was it enough?
Sure.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Listen, I didn't speak to grandma for a year. Didn't sound like
a pound of flesh. Oh, I know.
Because
she wouldn't talk to you for a year because she gave you a used coat that she picked up from someplace.
It was fine. I liked it.
It was nice. But she didn't feel that you thanked her enough. It wasn't as if you didn't thank her.
And then I did apologize for it, but still it was a long time before she talked to me again.
Yeah.
So I didn't go in blindly, but I do go in going, I'll take the hit. I'll take the hit.
Now you know why I left at 18 or whatever.
I am. It's funny because our show today feels like it's more cathartic, like we're just letting it all out. And maybe that's where it had to go today, you know?
Yeah.
We're end of a presidency this week.
Saying goodbye.
Saying goodbye. Him doing his... victory lap in some sense.
Yeah.
Saying goodbye.
And I was watching the legacy of Michelle Obama. Mm-hmm. Am I being silly to say that I never knew she graduated from, well, she graduated from Princeton and then went to Yale Law School. I never knew that.
I knew that only because I remember the story.
And maybe I knew it and I forgot it.
Yeah, it could be. I remember the story from about her parents saying, if you get into an Ivy League school, we will figure out how to pay for it.
Uh-huh.
Because... And this is the truth. This is the only truth I can say about higher education.
Mm-hmm.
If you get into like an Ivy League school, it probably is worth the money.
It is.
Because you're meeting connections and all that stuff. And also in those schools, if I'm not mistaken, a lot of like the majority of people get a lot of financial aid because the alumni is so...
Yeah.
She was
just a girl from the south side of Chicago, and her brother, her older brother, got into Princeton. And he said that the one thing you could count on with Michelle, is even as a young child, is that she was highly competitive.
Ah.
And she said, well, I'm going to Princeton. And he goes, well, what makes you think you can go to Princeton?
Ah.
And she said, if you got in, I sure as hell could get in.
How funny is that?
And that's what... That's what fueled her.
Yeah. You used to, you fueled that in my brother and I a little bit until you had to pay up. And then you like, well, this is not right.
Was this about the A's and report card?
Yes. I remember, because you knew we were both smart enough.
Yeah.
You know? But I remember you're like, I'm going to give you guys a challenge. You know, I'm going to give you $10 for every A, or was it even more than that? I don't know. But for every A you get, I'm going to give you $10.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, what? I mean, our report card, not just on paper.
Yeah.
And literally, it was that next semester. I think you missed that halfway through the first semester.
Yeah.
That first semester, we all got A's.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, this is wrong.
I think it was like over $200.
Yeah, you had to give us like $200.
And this was like, you know, I mean, I'm like, I can't be doing this every semester. Like, okay, you're smart. You proved it to me.
You're done. And you know what? We backed off a little bit.
Backed off.
We released the pedal to the metal. We took it off a little bit. And it's so funny. I feel bad now that one point early on in our career, if we just would have had parents that were willing to pay up, your kids would have graduated.
Damn, that was our fault. It's always the parents' fault.
You are right.
It's always the mama's fault.
I say, good day, sir. Good day, sir. I blame my semi-mediocre, my A-, B-plus grade point average on you.
That's right. That's right. I'll take it. I'll take the hit. I'm sorry. I'll take the hit.
Okay. Well, good. I appreciate that. You know, sometimes you just got to hit the hit.
I'm a D'Antoni. I know how to do that.
And I'm part D'Antoni. I know how to take that hit as well.
That's right.
And we just go, and we move on, right?
We move
on. I listened to Adam Carolla this morning while I was doing clearing the clutter, you know, and in the basement on his podcast. But it was interesting. Somebody had asked him, he goes, it just seems like you are getting a lot of stuff done right now in your life.
Mm-hmm.
He does racing. Mm-hmm. He does documentaries all the time. He does movies. He does podcasts. He's going on cruises and doing podcasts on cruises.
No.
And he goes, what's going on? He goes, I'll tell you what's going on. He goes, literally for a decade of my life, I did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I I worked hard, I dug ditches, I did carpentry, and I came home and I crashed and I drank and I did nothing. Mm-hmm. And then somehow I woke up going, I gotta do some stuff. Mm-hmm. And now I know how to do stuff. I know what I can do, what I like to do. Mm-hmm. I can hire the people who I want to help me get the mm-hmm. stuff done, mm-hmm. and I get things done. Mm. And I thought to myself, what if you could just say, oh, okay, I get it. You know, I want to get these things done. Mm-hmm. And I love getting these things done. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he cares if anybody is seeing his, you know, I mean, I think the way he's doing stuff now, I mm-hmm. don't think he's having to wait for, you know, a producer to come by.
There's something fascinating about him to me. You know what? I prefer somebody else's podcast over his.
Yeah.
But what I see in him, I'm fascinated by.
Right.
Like you said, he's got his cars, he's got his TV show that he's doing.
Yep.
He's got this insanely popular podcast.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just hooked into Hollywood enough to know stuff.
Right.
He was and to know people. Yeah, exactly.
He is. He's hooked on like his... he's just hooked on. He's hooked up, hooked in, and all that stuff. And so, but what I look at his life, I see that it's 20 years in the business. And
that's what it looks like, maybe.
This is where momentum is real. Like, he's figured it out. He's mm-hmm. figured out momentum.
He's figured it out for him, because right. obviously, I never would have thought Jimmy Kimmel would be where he's at.
Right.
And I remember Jimmy Kimmel as kind of like his side man.
Right.
I don't know if that's true or not, but
yeah,
I always thought of Kimmel as Adam Carolla's.
Oh, interesting. I know. It was the other way around.
Was it really?
I mean, they're partners.
No, but like that one show that they had.
The guy show, the man show.
Yeah, I always thought that Adam was the big guy and Jimmy kind of was his announcer or something.
No, it's totally the opposite.
Is it really?
They're partners, but I think Jimmy Kimmel was the almost like the boss of the show in some sense. Mm. It was his initial idea mm-hmm. And so forth.
Mm.
I think.
Okay, well, there you go. I just, you know, in the whole scheme of things, my thought in that vein was that Adam was the, you know, the more alpha dude
right.
than Jimmy.
Right. Exactly. I just don't know 100%, but I think that's mm-hmm. I think I'm right in that.
Yeah, but he's got a lot of interests that he makes money from.
Oh yes,
that's the cool thing.
I love that.
Yeah.
Can we do a little movie talk before we?
You bet.
Get going here. Okay. Cool.
Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. And see how many Sherpa hats there are. You know
that was
what
our song, sung by Mom.
And we're all gonna go to the movies.
Let's
we have some
to
movies to talk about.
Okay, can I? I've done this. I did this Sherpa review before mm-hmm. about The Accountant. Mm-hmm. And when I said it before, I said this is a perfect movie. I need to amend my review.
And why is that?
It was a perfect ending of a
yes,
movie.
Yes, good.
The last 35 minutes.
We saw it last night.
Mm-hmm. Was perfect.
Right.
There were some slow parts in the movie. Yes, you fell asleep once. So I'm going down from my 4 Sherpa hat review mm-hmm. to 3 Sherpa hat review mm-hmm. because it was... I know why I thought it was a perfect movie mm-hmm. because when
of the last 35 minutes.
Of the last
minutes.
35 minutes. I mean...
It leaves you feeling happy and good.
They leave with this beautiful song that I think it's... Crow is the person who sings it. I want to say James Crow, but I don't know if that's true.
No,
or
not.
But
a murder of crows.
No,
a murder of crows.
But it's called "Leaving Something Behind."
Yeah,
just wanna leave
I'm just I'm just trying to leave something behind.
I love that song.
Me too.
I didn't hear it before. That was the first time I heard that song, and I go, "Oh my gosh!"
Yeah,
and so I'm readjusting my review, and since it just came out on DVD or mm-hmm. wherever or mm-hmm. wherever you see your almost new movies, realize that if I was going to say anything, I say if you only had like an hour and a half,
mm-hmm.
watch the first half hour,
mm-hmm.
and skip half hour.
And the last hour.
And then last hour.
Mm-hmm. If you only had an hour and a half, yeah.
Yeah, an hour and a half.
That would be fine.
I think that would be fine, yeah.
I do too.
I think you wouldn't miss anything.
You know what's interesting is a minor character in this movie is that Is it, what's the insurance? So we've done it all because we've seen it all.
Was that is
that
Farmers Insurance? Yes.
It's that dude.
Yes.
And
he was in Whiplash.
He played an I don't know, he was a music teacher or something, mm-hmm, in Whiplash. And I never see him as an actor.
Yeah.
I always just see him as the commercial dude. So it's interesting to me to have him,
right,
be here. He's a police FBI dude, yeah, you know, in this movie. Not that he doesn't do an admirable job,
yeah,
or that he's not good. It's just that somebody has such a huge persona. It'd be like, oh, what's the progressive girl? What's her name?
Yeah, Flo.
Flo. It'd be like if Flo was, you know, came into a movie and she played a cop.
Right.
You're like, that's Flo.
That's Flo.
That's not a cop. And I have almost the same issue.
It's so funny. I think because I know this guy as a psychologist on Law and Order, that I don't even think of him. When I see those farmers,
right,
commercials,
yeah,
I go, oh, there's the psychologist from Law and Order.
He was like one of the first ones, wasn't,
yeah,
he?
Yeah. And so that's funny how we both,
yeah,
think of him as different. I do think of him as lucky. He has had a long career in acting.
Oh, I know.
Good
Almost
job.
As lucky as Belzer, Richard Belzer.
Oh, okay.
No,
Sha-na-na.
No, Belzer. Is that? That's Richard Belzer, I think. No, he's not Sha-na-na.
No, it is Richard Belzer.
But he's been on every single Law and Order from when they started.
Yes, as SVU, and before SVU.
Before that,
he was on Homicide. He had to say he had
Law
he had,
and Order. Homicide. Just Law and Order.
I think it was just called Homicide.
Oh.
But he had the longest running character on TV.
Oh, okay, got it.
He was a character on TV.
Right, okay.
And that's how it worked out.
Yeah, but I mean, that's luck. Lucky.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Very lucky. I'm sure and I think he worked in New York his entire life, you know.
Yeah.
Before that, do you remember him being, he had a daily talk show host.
He was
a daily
was he really?
I remember this one scene, or was it Weekly? He was a comedian, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember this one scene where I think it was a talk show or a nighttime something or other, and he had Hulk Hogan and Mr. T, and Hulk Hogan put him in a lock.
No.
And he passed out.
Because he's so fragile.
He's like, yeah, dude, Richard Belzer, that was stupid of you.
Yeah.
And so I think some kind of lawsuit occurred during that time.
Did it?
He passed out, yeah.
Wow.
And he woke up going, we'll be right back, you know, and then he passed out again or something like that.
Whoa.
So that's what I remember. But yeah.
Whoa.
But so how did you like the movie The Accountant?
I liked the beginning, and I liked the ending, and I fell asleep during the middle.
Yes.
And I didn't miss anything.
No, you didn't.
But I'm glad I saw it.
But you had a couple of questions for me.
I did have a couple of questions.
Because you fell asleep, but
right.
Not major ones. I think you could have figured it out.
I would have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
Oh, I like it.
No, this ended so well.
Yeah.
Anybody who's listening who knows directors, tell them that a good ending can make any crap movie worth seeing.
Yeah.
If you could have the audience going, Oh, I feel so good now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know he killed lots of people, but I feel so good. Like, okay, the movie, Keanu Reeves, he's an assassin, and then stops because he met a woman, and his wife dies and have cancer. I'm not telling you anything. Come on, you know that movie. Remember that movie? I can't think of his name. It's like John Wick.
John Wick.
Yeah, John Wick's the name of that character, and that's the name of the movie. There's coming out, a second one's coming out, which I find awesome. But literally, that movie ended superbly.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that the one where he gets his dog back?
Yeah, no, he doesn't get his dog back. The dog dies in the beginning. And he saves a dog's life.
Right.
He ends up having to save himself because he's bleeding profusely at this animal shelter.
Right.
And we notice that he goes, and he sees a dog there that's a little tiny boxer.
Getting terminated.
And it says terminated, you know, the date's
terminate
there.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. And so he takes him home. And I'm like, oh, he saved a dog.
Yeah.
I gave this movie 4 sugar hats. You know, yes, a lot of people died. And then one person's got saved. He goes, hey, how you doing? He goes, you know, he's going to kill this one guy. And he goes, I'm doing, anybody knew him? He goes, hey, Jack, how you doing? He goes, fine. And Jack goes, are you on the clock? He goes, yeah. He goes, well, can I just walk away? I don't need to be here. He goes, sure, just walk away. He goes, okay. That wasn't exactly how the scene went, but, mm-hmm. you know, so he was a horrible human being, killing a lot of people, mm-hmm. but they typically deserve to be killed.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And if you play by those rules, yeah. then...
Then you die by those rules.
Yes. That was one of the other things you told me about growing up in life. If you play by those rules, you die by those rules.
Thanks, Mama.
Had many pearls of wisdom. many pearls of wisdom. Now, we literally only have like 1 minute left.
Oh, I got to talk about the.
That's what I was going to say.
About my movie.
Go for it.
Well, I want to talk about War Dogs, which okay. I saw today. And I don't want to talk about too much because you're going to see it this afternoon. Yes. But I actually am going to give it like three and a half Sherpa heads.
Yes.
I literally enjoyed this movie, perhaps because I had no expectation. Mm-hmm. But it was actually, I didn't have any expectations, that's the truth. But I did really like it, and it was 2 hours, so it didn't fit any of my criteria.
Right, it was a longer movie.
But I you know, Julie, I'm trying to think, but I think Tom Ford might have directed it. Did he?
No. I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I didn't hear that.
I thought at the very end I saw Tom Ford. I don't know what he did with it, but...
I don't know.
You can IMBD it, but...
Yeah.
But I would recommend, if you just want something just fun and you don't have nothing invested in it, I liked it. Jonah Hill was good. I don't know who the other guy was.
The guy from Whiplash, by the way.
Was it the guy from Whiplash? Yeah. Oh, my God, really?
What was it called? War Dogs.
War Dogs, yeah.
War Dogs. I put frogs. That's not it.
War Dogs.
War Dogs. Sogs.
And then, dogs. And then so that was my War Dogs. But and then I did see about the last 30 to 40 minutes of Keanu, Kitten, Please. And...
Which you're bringing it all full circle, girlfriend.
Isn't it true?
No, Todd Phillips.
Todd Phillips. Does it kind of look like Tom Ford?
No, not
kinda,
one bit.
It could, kinda a little
could.
Bit.
Do you know who Todd Phillips is?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Todd Phillips could look like Tom Ford.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
T.O.
Real quickly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let me just finish about the Keanu Kitten, Please.
Yes.
I said to Julie, Peele and Key, or Key and Peele, those two dudes, yeah. I love them. I think they are awesome, right?
Right.
They're smart. They're funny. And to me, they could have probably made any movie they wanted to.
Yes.
This is the one that got green-lighted? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
My feeling is that someone really liked this kitten. we got to get this
The kitten was a star.
The kitten was a star. Kitten, Please. I just love that. We say that because that was on the movie poster.
Yes.
I go, I got to see this movie. Keanu. I love those.
Kitten, Please.
And, I gave it a 2 Sherpa hats.
I know.
It was kind of wild.
Yeah. It's kind of sad. Like I said, these guys are awesome dudes. They're smart. They're funny. They could have had probably any movie they wanted to.
So this week, I want to say thank you, everyone, listening to our podcast. It feels like we needed to just dump and have a good time.
We just had a dump.
And I have a list here of everything I want to talk about that could be more positive and nugget.
Did we hit on that, Carol?
No, literally, I could have just burnt the nose and gone in free.
Yes.
free flowing. So go to our website, Christy, Mary, and Julie, or coming soon, really soon, consciouscommunity.com, where we have lots of challenges. There.
Go to Facebook.
Yes.
Conscious Community Challenges. Hey, how are you feeling about that getting up at 3 a.m. because somebody lived Facebooked you?
Oh,
hey, I'm at a concert. Woo, woo, woo.
I got to turn it off. I've been literally woken up every night this week because someone's live.
Yeah.
And my phone goes beep, beep. So-and-so's live. I'm like, I don't give a shit.
No.
Thank you. Yeah. I go, yeah, good job.
Yeah. Oh, somebody's going through a drive-thru. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or someone's talking to me. I'm like, good job. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, we understand at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's only 8 a.m. in Australia.
Or something.
But
it's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's 5 p.m. somewhere. But I got to turn that off. All right, everyone. Have a great night. And how was it, Mom?
It was great.
It was great. It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great.